Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
In restless dreams, I walk alone.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Hopefully everybody's okay. You're up. You're breathing. The sun will rise today. That I promise you. Obviously a tough one, but a show that we're getting used to, which I never wanted that to be the case. The morning after. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Rhino, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. It doesn't feel like a Friday.
No, it does not feel like a Friday. This is a beautiful tweet I saw last night. I wanted to start the show with this, and it really, really makes sense. From Rich Roberts on Twitter, it says, baseball is such a cruel sport. It's a companion every day for 6 months. A slow-moving train of emotional investment that never leaves your consciousness because of its daily cadence. It's what makes the losing streaks harder, the winning better, and then it's just over. It ends. Three games. Three extra games is what your San Diego Padres gave you this season after a 162-game slog that everybody got through. A slog which saw them win 90 games. And lose 72 games. I mean, it was not my favorite year of Padres baseball to cover, but it certainly was not uninteresting. And, you know, we'll talk about yesterday's game, certainly. Obviously, a lot to talk about. But I just kind of wanted to get everybody's temperature. I mean, you feel terrible. You feel terrible. When it ends and it's over, it's just so sudden when it happens. When that last out is recorded and you stare at the TV, and you're like, this can't be it. I got to see these guys tomorrow. Because despite all of their shortcomings, despite all of the failure that you saw, they're still your guys. You know, it's still your team. And I, you know, listen, we all get emotional. I get less emotional now than I used to. And I'm actually very happy about that. I handled it pretty well yesterday. Really. I mean, last year almost put me in the grave. It almost killed me. Like, it almost killed me. That was the hardest thing I've ever experienced as a sports fan against the Dodgers, the 24 scoreless. And it's not close. It's not, it was terrible. And this, I was like, that sucks, man. That just sucks. And they're still our guys, but man, they got some work to do. They got some work to do. How did you guys take the loss?
So, I never felt like this team had it. I never felt like they were going, like they should win the World Series or get to the World Series.
Felt it last year, didn't you?
Felt it last year. Felt it a lot last year.
Real good.
Throughout the regular season and definitely heading into the postseason, you felt it. I never felt that this year. And they had, record-wise, you know, they got into the dance. They had a good season in that regard. But I'm certainly disappointed. I don't think that you can say that this was a successful season.
No.
I never felt like they had it. Of course, once the playoffs start, you get that
anybody's ball game
glimmer of hope. But I think that there are some serious issues that need to be addressed.
I think we could have gotten through Milwaukee. I do. We could have gotten through Milwaukee.
Said it plenty of times last week. I said, I don't know why. I can't really explain it. If the Padres can beat the Cubs, I see a path, like maybe even to the World Series, if the Dodgers and Phillies could just beat the hell out of each other, because I wasn't super concerned about Milwaukee. I just don't know if they can beat the Cubs or not.
Juan says, this game has retired me as a fan. Juan, it's not. It hasn't. Just, you got to let it percolate for a bit, right? But I saw, boy, did I see and receive some texts yesterday with some emotion, very emotional reaction, very. And if a lot of people, Ben, had their way, Fernando Tatis Jr. is a Met, Manny Machado is a Yankee, Jake Cronenworth is on the moon, Yu Darvish is sitting on the side of the road. I mean, look, I get it. Emotions, my emotions were pretty high, too, yesterday. And yes, there needs to be some changes. And it's got to start, you know, I think with, well, we'll talk about where it needs to start.
And that may be a conversation that we're going to have over the next 3 months. Not today, though. I'm really disappointed in how the season ended. More than I thought I would be. Maybe not quite as disappointed as last year. I remember sitting on the curb with ants crawling on me outside of Dodger Stadium last year. As the season came to an end at like 11 p.m. doing television.
It's a sad sight.
Yeah, it was bad. I was trying to edit on my laptop, and there was nowhere to sit. So I sat on a curb, and after about 3 minutes, I realized, oh, I sat in a trail of ants, and they're crawling all over me. And it was a really, really
bad way. Did he tell us this last year? I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
It's a really bad way for the whole season to end. So disappointing when they had a lead. They were on the last year, they were on the precipice. You never felt they were on the precipice of going forward in this series after losing game one. Game two was exciting, but they never really put themselves in position to win yesterday until the ninth inning. So I didn't have the feeling that something was taken away from me like it was last year.
Yeah, last year that, felt ripped from me.
That being said, they easily could have won that series.
And should have
they
won that
should
series.
Have won that series. And I wouldn't be stunned if the Cubs go on and beat the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And I don't know what will happen if they face the Phillies or the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Yeah, you do.
I think I don't think the Cubs have enough, but probably the Padres didn't have enough either ultimately this year. But we'll never get a chance to find out. Both because of the Padres' play, and I'm sure, and we will talk about it, and I am mad about it, too. The call in the ninth inning against Xander Bogaerts, just an unacceptable missed call by home plate umpire DJ Rayburn. One of the many, many stories from yesterday that we'll be discussing today.
Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a very tough call. You know, I tweeted it. I stand by it, though. Don't let that missed call distract you from really a really subpar offensive performance all year long. And the other part is, and I know, you know, I look, to be completely transparent, I got annoyed about May and June with people like, oh, we need to change this and this needs to change and move him out of the two. And then it really started to hit home. And let me tell some of those doomers, I think you're absolutely right. You know, the stubbornness of the management of this team was really our downfall. It really was our downfall, and it's not close. I don't care what worked in Johnson City. This isn't Johnson City. It's not. Ben, I threw a two-hit shutout one Sunday afternoon at Hoover High School against the Bones. Does anybody give a baker's F about what happened at Hoover High School on a Sunday 10 years ago? No, they don't. You had every opportunity. You had different personnel brought in, and you stuck with massaging egos and keeping people happy, and it just torpedoed you. It torpedoed you. And there was no ability to be malleable. There was no ability to adjust. And all we did was we just kept banging our head against the same door over and over. Here's these numbers. 27th, 29th, 28th runs scored, 27th in productivity. Hey, this worked. This worked for me 10 years ago in the minors. I'm going to stick with it. I understand consistency, and I don't want a manager that jiggles the lineup every day, but I think 4 to 5 months is a decent enough sample size, right? I do. I think it's a decent enough sample size to say, we got to make a change. And I'm not saying that it was some magical bean that they could have taken, but holy cow, man, how much evidence did you need? You know, he was a 3-time batting champion. He's not this year. He's not. The guy was 79th in OBP this year. He was, fifth in hits. Well, great. 79th in OBP despite 181 hits. You know, and it just, there were just so many rallies killed. The identity of this team was really, really set back in the dead ball era. You know, it really was. And again, when you got sluggers on your team that are like, yeah, we don't slug anymore. It's just it's a recipe for disaster. Is it not?
I want to be careful with what I say, because what you just said was a really well-articulated take on the San Diego Padres. And I don't think you're wrong that ultimately it was stubbornness that may have led to the downfall of this team. And I agree with you that if the Padres find a way to score three runs in that ninth inning, you're probably lauding the consistency.
I'm not.
The steadfastness. And I don't know if you should.
I'm probably like, man, we dodged an effing bullet
there. A lot of time that's an important, especially in a baseball season, being steadfast is a tough thing to do, and managers need to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Even when fans are screaming for changes and they have to stand up to fans and others in the media who are saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And a good manager will sometimes say, no, I don't. You've got to trust the process. You've got to trust your players. And Mike Schilt did that all year. But in this series, and baseball is so weird because every team has weaknesses, and the Padres certainly did. Sometimes, though, in the playoffs, those weaknesses don't come into play. Sometimes weaknesses turn into strengths over 2 weeks in the playoffs. It's weird. But in this particular series, every weakness that we talked about last week or earlier this week going in is what came back to haunt the San Diego Padres. Is it not? The left-handed lane that we talked about at the end of the lineup. The inability of stars to come through. The inability to slug enough in the lineup. The inability to get enough depth from your starting pitching. Everything we talked about as being potential reasons why the Padres couldn't go deep into the playoffs are exactly what undid the Padres in this series.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And did the Padres do anything about that to try to change that?
No, they didn't.
They just did the same things that they did all season long that established in our minds what their weaknesses are. Now, were their hands tied a little bit?
Sure.
The injury to Ramon Laureano.
It's brutal.
They tried to address it they needed a big right-handed bat to break up that lane. AJ Preller went out and got the perfect bat to break up his left-handed lane late in the lineup. A guy
literally,
who came
perfect.
Through at the end of the season, led the team in OPS, had the kind of dog mentality you want in the playoffs. Ramon Laureano was the perfect acquisition, and he got hit by a pitch in the hand and never got to play in the playoffs. That's just bad luck.
It's cruelty.
That AJ Preller and Mike Schilt can't do really anything about. And they were left with some bad choices. After Ramon Laureano was gone, they were left with bad choices. Either you leave in your lefty lane or you bring in guys that, quite frankly, aren't as good. Like, you know, more at-bats for Jose Iglesias. Or do we want to see more Bryce Johnson? Or, God forbid, Luis Camposano gets an at-bat. Those aren't great choices, but they went with the steadfast consistency, or in your word, stubbornness, that ultimately did lead to their elimination from the playoffs.
And listen, don't get it twisted. This isn't about three games in Chicago putting it on Luis Arraez, because if I'm putting it on guys, I put it on Fernando Tatis Jr., I put it on Luis Arraez, I put it on Manny Machado. Oh, you lost Laureano. If only we had, I don't know, I don't know, somewhere around the neighborhood of $60 million in right-handers.
$800 million total.
That could do something to step up in somebody's absence. I mean, we've seen playoff teams get injured
Xander
before.
Xander stepped up.
He did.
I think Xander stepped up. I was very pleased with what Xander did.
He did. He did. He absolutely did. He was
fantastic, man. The three of us, fans, all over the place, we were all very, very critical, and I think rightly so, of Xander. He was in a multi-year slump after signing that big contract. Showed me something this year.
No question.
He really did.
I mean,
I was impressed this season.
I'm super bummed for Crone. Crone disappeared this series.
Yep.
He got some righties yesterday. He did, you know, wasn't able to handle it, man. But Jake Cronenworth hits eight. Jake Cronenworth makes $11 million a year. I need the guys that make 30 to come through. And they didn't. They didn't. I mean, honestly, like, Manny was horrible, horrible. And it breaks my heart. Guys, that's my guy. Fernando, the worst series I've ever seen. Yeah. I couldn't believe.
Game two, you know, he did some good things, scored a couple of runs, but games,
made a great
one,
catch.
Games one and three were
Toddy,
were
Manny,
just not good enough.
Those three combined 4 for 33 in the series.
Merrill started stepping up. He's going to be such a good player.
He is, man. He is, and it's just a. It's just again. It's the. I can't beat this dead horse again. But it's just the small ball clown mentality, the scared money don't make money philosophy. And you can say it all you want. No. This is winning baseball. It's clearly not, and it's not productive baseball.
And it hasn't.
Proof
been. Is there.
It's right. It's not an opinion.
We said it when this identity really started to develop. I want to probably call it May, June,
yeah,
somewhere
you're going,
around there.
Oh, okay.
Like, you're like, I think there's been enough games now. Like, this is the team, like it or hate it, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we said, and not just us, Eno Saris, every baseball analyst out there said, only one team has ever really won the World Series with the small ball, you know, the lack of power. It was the Royals.
And I'll tell you.
We said, all right, if you're going to do it, you better be the best team to ever do this philosophy.
And I'll tell you, I have the answer. Nobody wants to hear it, but I know exactly what these guys need to do. They don't need to spend their offseason in at driveline. They don't need to spend their offseason in the cages or in the gym. They need to go sit in a room with call it a mental skills coach. And find out when October comes, do we disappear for these long stretches at a time? Why can't we get over the hump? And actually, you know, this year more indicative, Benny, of the entire year, right? This is more indicative that their postseason performance this year was just like they played in the regular season. Really, it wasn't much different.
Well, you know, separated out. Bullpen certainly not part of that.
Bullpen was elite.
Bullpen stepped up.
Oh, I'm talking about the hitters.
I'm talking about the hitters. Okay.
One big group session. Of like, hey, what happens to me when the lights get the brightest? Can I rise to it? Because you see it in baseball, and there's been better players with longer Hall of Fame careers that have had worse postseason numbers than Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., who had been really good in the postseason until this one. But there's just something amiss. There's something amiss about this. I didn't like the reactions of the guys last night. I understand it's right after the game. It's a bummer. I thought Manny, I didn't like his comments to our pal Jake Garignani at all. I understand he's frustrated. I know these guys want to bring a championship here. I know they do. I have no doubt about it. That I don't see quitting and I don't see laziness. But
no, I agree. I mean, those guys do care.
They
want to win.
But what is
it's not a want to. It's an execution. It's an October block that they have to get over.
And again, man, it is time. It's just it's beating a dead horse. It's time to get back to being yourselves. And really, like Jackson Merrill, it's such a perfect microcosm of the whole series. When he drops that bunt down from the cleanup spot in the third inning, that was the problem with the San Diego Padres mentality this entire
Jackson
year.
Jackson should never, other than maybe drop one down for a base hit.
For a base hit when the third baseman's playing shortstop.
Once every two or 3 months. 100%. Jackson should never bunt again in his career. Until maybe he's old and gray and he's 38. Jackson Merrill, you should be done with sacrifice bunting in your career. You're too good to sacrifice bunt.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nobody out, runners first and second in the ninth inning, tie game in the playoffs. No. I'm fine with it then.
Jackson Merrill? Not giving him a run.
Who? Who's behind in the order?
Who's behind Merrill?
I'm talking, years down the road. I don't know.
Never. I don't know.
Never. Never. And again, it's just indicative of who this team, what this team's mentality was. Is no, I want to give myself up. That's good. You know, they're so precious, especially at that. Look, bro, if it's the Little League World Series, or if it's the Adult Ball Championships, or it's the College World Series, fine. They're kids. They're gonna throw it away. They're gonna bobble it. These are pros. They don't make those mistakes enough.
Didn't make mistakes in the series.
No,
it wasn't mistakes.
We had so many opportunities.
We'll go through the numbers, but the opportunities were there. The Padres didn't throw
away. Should have won that series.
Padres didn't throw away a single run. Cubs didn't throw away a single run. It was a well-played series on both sides. It was by far of the four wild card series. We talked about it yesterday. It continued today. There were sloppy play in every other series. Every other team made a bunch of mistakes. Even the Dodgers made a bunch of mistakes. Padres and Cubs did not make any mistakes. Neither team hit well.
I think that's probably...
Neither team, neither the Padres nor the Cubs hit well in this series.
No.
But otherwise, they both played excellent baseball over the last 3 days.
I do wonder if that's... Because I'm pretty content just with everything this morning. More than I thought I would be when I woke up.
You're resigned to it.
Yeah. And I think part of it is, for everything that Ben just said, that was a very well-played series. You're going to lose well-played series every once in a while. It always sucks.
Yep.
It never feels good. But it's not like they were booting the ball. They blew a huge... You know what I mean? Like, no, it was a well-played series. That makes it... anything can happen in the playoffs.
But you can't also... And I can hear Mike Schilt's voice in my head. Because it is Friar Friday, but... I don't believe we're going to be talking to the skipper today. I don't know what their travel schedule is or the next time we'll have a chance. I can hear him going, like, hey, that's the kind of baseball we want to play. We just didn't hit when we needed to hit. That's baseball. Hitting is the hardest thing in baseball to do. But you can't just dismiss this. This isn't a regular season series in July. Yeah, you need to keep playing good baseball like you did. But you have to also take stock and evaluate why it is that you didn't go forward. This is a playoff series, and you need to figure out how you can come through the next time. It can't simply be random chance. Oh, well, we got to the playoffs again, and guess luck wasn't on our side again this year. No, tell me what you're going to do differently next time you get to October. Just tell me. What are you going to do if you're lucky enough to get there next October?
They told us in spring training this year because of what happened last year and how that won't happen again. Mm. And it did.
I hate it.
We asked every single player that came to the table at spring training in Peoria.
That was there.
We just said, hey, that, you know, I know we don't want to spend too much time on this. You guys already did. But, you know, we haven't talked to you in 4 months. Let's go back to October. Like, what was that like? You know, oh, yeah, that was unacceptable. Never going to let that happen again. Until October 2025.
Hmm.
All right, we'll set the menu for the Friday edition of Ben and Woods.
Should be a fun one.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to through this game. We'll let you know what's coming up after our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up in the next 3 hours and 38 minutes, we will start with our Padres crap up, the last one of the season, unfortunately, and we will go inning by inning through yesterday's heartbreaking disappointment, 3-1 loss to the Chicago Cubs. Of course, we will get to the drama in the ninth inning, the bad call by DJ Rayburn, the tightrope that the Padres bullpen walked through in essentially 3 hours to keep that, keep it close enough that they actually had a chance.
It was unbelievable.
At the end of that game. Miraculously, that they had a chance to win that game in the ninth inning. But it did not play out that way. We will go through all the highlights coming up in our next hour. Coming up at 7:35, we will not only break down the Padres season, but we will also look ahead to SDFC. We do have another team in town that is gearing up for a playoff run. Are you ready for another whole round of disappointment, San Diego? Because we got to go through this for our soccer team now in a couple of weeks. They're getting right down to the regular season. And Darren Smith.
My guess is we'll probably talk a little more baseball with Darren Smith
I would think
than
so
SDFC
too,
but, today is my guess.
They do have a game tomorrow, and he is with SDFC. So we'll do both when he joins us.
I think Darren's expecting to yeah, you know, yeah, join the funeral.
Yeah, and I
want
to make sure we give a good chunk of time to Darren. So we'll make sure that Darren gets a chance to say his piece on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. And then in the second half of the program, I don't know, will we open up the phone lines at some
absolutely,
point?
Man,
I think this is a therapy day.
This is what it's here
yeah,
for.
Yeah, we'll hear from some Tier 1s. You were amazing this week, by the way. Tier 1s, you came through.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I was like, thanks very
you
much.
You were also amazing
a great
this week.
Thank you.
How was Park 101 again?
I mean, the vibe was certainly a little different. Yeah. No one could breathe. No one breathed. And we're, you know, trying to get up for pitches. And you know, honestly, Darvish was so bad in that. And it was just not a pleasant experience. I left in about the fifth. And I had to go home, and you know, we had to meet the kids, and there was football practice and all that. But
you sent the text yesterday that made me laugh the hardest than anything else I've seen yesterday about Taylor. What did Taylor do in the middle of the game?
Oh, what was it? Maybe the seventh. Oh my God, we'll tell you what.
What his youngest Taylor did?
Unbelievable.
Only in the Woods family. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll have regular features as well. A little DDT. We got Take on Woods, a Rondle Report, a Sexy Saturday,
Stinkfist
College Football schedule. We'll see how the second half of the program is going today.
Yeah, let's not be normal today. This is not a normal day.
It's not totally a normal day.
Let's not be stubborn. And let's be able to be flexible today. Yes.
All right. We will get started with the Padres crap up, though. Coming up next with Ben and Woods, Tier 1s. We're here for you. I hope you're here for us because we need it
as
you need us this morning, I think, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Oh, Taylor.
Guy almost killed me yesterday. Yeah, he really did.
I really lost it when you sent this.
Yeah, we went to Park. Hannah and I went to Park 101, and it was awesome, man. They were great. Had that same area.
Relaxing date night.
Yeah, totally. Just everyone chewing their nails. And yeah, man, it just goes to show you how dumb superstitions are. I wore the same thing. I ordered the same thing. It doesn't matter. I'm not kidding. It just doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. It doesn't mean anything. It's not your fault if the Padres lose.
Correct.
It's their fault. And I learned my lesson again, as I always do, with stupid superstitions. It didn't work. So we went and we're watching. And yeah, man, you're on pins and needles. You, Darvish, all over the place. He's hitting guys and that no one could breathe. It was just silent.
So,
in about the fifth, we had to get home and meet the kids. We had a sitter pick them up, and then Bo had practice. And I told Hannah, I can't go to practice. I'm going to watch the game. She goes, all right, watch Taylor. I said, no problem. So Taylor's on the couch. He's watching a movie. I'm in my room watching the game. And Manny is coming up in the seventh inning. And all of a sudden, my screen just goes black in my room. And it says, your cable box, Cox, your Cox needs to be reset. Like, what? No, not again. Come on. How is my Cox failing me now?
Your Cox broke again.
My Cox broke again. Well, turns out, so I walk into the living room, and there's my son sitting on the couch with the remote in his hand. And he's looking at me weirdly. And I go, what did you do? And he goes, I don't know. I just pressed these buttons. And I'm like, you turned the cable box off. It's all like you reset it. And he goes, I don't know. I was trying to watch something. I was like, okay. So I had to do the full unplug, 30-second wait, replug.
Reboot.
Them. Hello, bienvenidos, blah, blah, blah. Like you have to wait for all the things to come through. And then I go into the next room and it took, I text you guys. I go, what did Manny do? Was like, ground out to Dansby Swanson.
Of course he grounded out to Dansby Swanson like everybody else did.
Dansby Swanson, I tip my hat to you, sir. We win that series going away without Dansby Swanson. There's no question. But, again, they made plays when they needed to, and I give them a lot of credit. I give the Cubs a tremendous amount of credit. I do. They played a really good series. They bent. Boy, did they bend in the ninth yesterday. They did not break, and I give them a lot of credit.
You know, irony is they actually underperformed offensively much more than the Padres did. They were a really good offensive team. That didn't do anything offensively in the series.
What did they slug, though?
Same as the Padres, essentially. They had four doubles and three homers. Padres had four doubles and
two homers. Yep.
I mean, they were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position in the series. They had a pathetic offensive series, especially for them. One of the best lineups in baseball could do nothing against the Padres pitching staff. And, you know, a lot of the hits they got, especially yesterday, were absolute BABIP luck shots. I mean, they had at least
so many bleeders.
At least five or six.
So many bleeders.
Bleeders, bloopers, dunkers, and the Padres worked their way around almost all of them to keep that a game. The Cubs did not have a good offensive series. Padres pitching, really, with almost no exceptions, stepped up massively over the last 3 days.
I can't say enough good things about the work that Rubin did with this staff. And again, try to everyone breathe out all of your negativity and emotion right now for just 1 second. Just, and you look back and you think about how we got to 90 wins this season. And you think about, I give it literally 75%. To the pitching staff, at least 75%, because there were so many uncertainties in this rotation. And when Dylan Cease, I'm telling you, last night after the game, I put the Yankees Red Sox on, and I watched this rookie Cam Schlittler go out and throw 8 innings. He struck out 12 Red Sox in an elimination game.
Rookie.
And here I am the day before going, yay, Dylan, great job, 3 2/3, excellent work, buddy. I'm disgusted with myself.
But that was the right performance for the Padres with that bullpen. The Yankees don't have a bullpen to come in.
I understand. But again, think of how did we get to 90 wins? It's because we overcame a horrible Dylan. So he's a guy that did take the ball every 5 days, certainly, and chewed up a lot of innings. We overcame 40, you know, we got, what, 40-something innings from Michael King? 70, something like that?
70, yeah.
70 innings from Michael King. You know, you Darvish, spotty as all get out. How did we get there? It's because of the pitching staff and the bullpen deciding, put it on us, we'll take it, and they did. All season long. And I'm so proud of those guys. So proud of those guys. Those guys were dogs, and they were dogs again yesterday. And, you know, it's just such a shame we couldn't pick those guys up and get to the next series. It really was. They were spectacular. Rubin, his whole staff, getting those guys to, and again, like, Rubin could not fix Dylan Cease. He could not fix him. He was the unfixable project this year. But the other guys down in that bullpen.
He did get better at the end.
He did get better at the end.
There was some improvement.
There was a little bit of improvement. But holy cow, man, we are not where we are. We were not even in that series without the pitching staff this year. They were spectacular. Spectacular.
All right, let's go through it. We'll start at the beginning, take you all the way through the game, however long it takes here. Our Padres crap up coming up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by the Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
1-0, here's the pitch. Crow Armstrong swings, lines it into center field. Merrill charging in and can't get there. Drops in front of him with base hit. All three runners had to wait and see, so only one will score. RBI single for Pete Crow Armstrong, his first career postseason hit. Cubs take a 1-0 lead. They've still got the bases loaded. There's still nobody out, and now Dansby Swanson will stand in. 2-2, sent in the air to right field and deep. Hernando's backing up. He's in the wall, looking. It's going to go. Michael Bush's third hit of the day is a solo homer here in the seventh inning. And the Cub lead is now 3-0. 1-1 the pitch. Merrill swings, sends it in the air to right field and deep. Suzuki's backing up. He's on the track, still going back at the wall. This one going to go into the basket for Jackson Merrill. Padres finally on the board as Merrill hits a leadoff home run here in the ninth inning. And don't go anywhere just yet. 3-1 Cubs. Kittredge will deal. And Fermin swings, sends it in the air to center field. Routine for Pete Crow Armstrong. Backpedaling, he's got room. He makes the catch. And the Cubs have won this National League wild card 2-1 as the Padres' 2025 season comes to a close with a ninth inning rally that fell just short.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good series. Hard fought. Tight, you know. A lot of big moments. You know, basically didn't get it done, you know, as a wrap-up point. There's a lot of hurt guys in that clubhouse. But we waited out on the field, and there's no regrets on anybody's part. Just disappointed.
I've got some more. No regrets.
You don't have one or two? Just like
nothing's going to keep you up.
It's normal to have a regret or two. I mean, we all have regrets in life, and you're okay, Mike, if you regret one or two decisions. It'd be weird if you didn't regret something.
No, it would.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
All right, let's start at the beginning. Padres,
Let me ask you a very broad, pointed question. Do they hate losing enough? Do they hate it enough? As a team, as an organization, as the superstars, do they hate losing enough?
I don't know that that's Manny's DNA for sure. You know, what makes him Manny is his ability
to stay,
set aside kind of the consequences and just go out and do his job.
I hate losing. I hate it. I hate losing more than I even want to win. And there's a difference.
It's not necessarily what makes you successful is hating losing.
I mean
that A's team, Billy Beane hated losing. They didn't win. You know, it's hating losing doesn't guarantee winning, unfortunately. That was all it took. Everyone would just hate. It doesn't, though.
I think it does.
There's a lot of teams that hate. A lot of professional athletes hate losing more than they love winning. I think that's a...
Well, listen, those...
But only one team wins in the end.
A lot of times, those are the guys that are surrounded by, you know, mediocrity. And the A's had some really good players, certainly. And they won well above their heads. I mean, they won, and it, you know, obviously, and like he says in that movie and in the book, you know, if you don't win the last game, nobody cares, right? And
they got eliminated in the first round.
Yeah,
just like the Padres
exactly,
did this year.
Exactly. But, you know, teams that play over their heads because they hate losing so much. But again, I just don't know. Like, it's such a game of consistency, and you do have to be remarkably consistent, and you can't fluctuate hot and cold. You just can't. You can't get through a 162-game season like that. But, you know, you do hear, you know, there's teams that you look at, Benny, and you're like, man, that guy got paid. I don't think our guys cruise or anything like that, but, like, do they hate losing? Are they obsessed with winning a World Series? Because I'll tell you, I think the biggest disappointment for me of all of it, and I told my missus this last night. I said, the thing that makes me the most sad is that the Friar faithful sold Petco Park out a stunning 72 times this season. 72 times. In this god-awful economy, they sold it out 72 times, and they don't get one home playoff game. Not one home playoff game. That is criminal. It's criminal. And you fumbled it down the stretch. The Dodgers were handing it to you. And they don't get one single home playoff game, dude. And for those players, like, you guys didn't. You didn't get one home playoff game
and
for 72?
And you can say that's because they lost yesterday.
No, it's because they lost.
Then they would have gotten a home playoff game if they had won yesterday, at least one. But it's because of August and early September.
And all of September.
100%. And all of September.
That they didn't get a home playoff game.
I mean, look,
who wouldn't have liked a home series against the Reds this week?
Oh, my God.
You had it.
You had it.
You had it.
You had it, man. You did.
It's very true. When they look back and they, you know, I think part of their calculus was, let's save something in the tank for October. There was definitely, I mean, it was written about, talked about.
Philosophical decision.
Back a little bit, and it cost them some games probably in August and September that cost them a home playoff series. But now what you had, all right, you have something left in the tank for a nice long October run.
You didn't. You played three games.
But now what are you going to do with that? You still got a half a tank of gas left, and there's no season left to play. Maybe you should have decided, especially for this team and this city, that a home playoff game was worth expending a little more energy during the regular season to get there.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
It really is. It's that's the thing that bums me out the most is again, 72 times they sold out Petco Park.
Now,
just incredible.
Now, if they had gone 100 miles an hour all the way through and then gotten to the first playoff series exhausted, beaten up, and lost, That's also a bad strategy.
But then you question. You know, I didn't think they needed to go crazy. Like, you don't throw Mason Miller 3 days. There's a way to do it.
That's the thing.
You know,
how do you balance it the right way to win enough where you can put yourself in the right position without irresponsibly emptying your tank in the regular season?
And I do think ultimately depth, you know, the lack of depth hurt us a lot this year. It happens. I mean, AJ was under some constraints. He did the best he could, in my opinion, of getting close to championship caliber lineup ready. Obviously, Laureano getting hurt was a huge, huge blow. But that's when guys have to step up. You know, it's not football where it's like Tom Brady broke his leg. We're dead. You know, it's like, hey, one guy's out of the lineup. Somebody needs to step up. But, you know, the other thing I found fascinating, Benny, is that here we went again into a playoff series. And with a kind of a disagreement in player personnel for the guys on the roster in a playoff series again, this is happening almost every year with, well, AJ wanted him and I didn't want him, so I'm not going to play him. And again, Luis Camposano, who knows? I'm not in here riding for Luis Camposano to get meaningful ABs. But again, there's a roster spot right there that there was a disagreement about.
But there was no one else to give that roster spot to. I mean, would Will Wagner have been the difference maker in this series?
No, but again, it's...
You didn't want Luis Camposano or Maldonado to get an at-bat, and Fermin was fine
all three games.
He was better than fine.
I saw an opportunity for Campy to come in and swing it yesterday.
Well, you could have made that choice.
Yeah.
You could have made that choice.
But again, they just said...
And AJ gave Mike Schilt at least that opportunity. If he wanted to do it, he was there.
Yeah.
I don't think that AJ made a mistake in putting Campy on the roster for the postseason.
No, but again, when the skipper comes out and he's like, it's an AJ decision, it's not my decision. Again, you're not on the same page. Again, in the postseason, this is Alfaro all over again. And Austin Nola out there catching every inning.
It might have been an issue. Had they gone on and Fermin had to catch every single game for a month,
yeah,
it could have ended up being an issue. It wasn't the issue in this series, though.
Yeah.
Fermin played great.
He did. He was awesome.
Fermin played
400
great.
Or something almost,
yeah.
And was piping guys at
runners
second.
All over the place,
yeah.
Blocking balls in the dirt.
It's just
Freddie Fermin had a really good first playoff series of his career.
You know,
right?
Again, it goes back to depth. Depth kind of killed us this year a little bit. And it's just a really tough way to end the season. It's just a really, really tough way.
All right, we're going to start. Let's start in the beginning. In the top of the first inning, which was really the difference for the Padres in game two, where they got to Kittredge and got a run on the board, put some pressure on the Cubs. Opposite happens yesterday. Tyone comes out and looks really good in that first inning. Padres do nothing. Go over quickly, and you go to the bottom of the first inning with your breath held a little bit with Yu Darvish going to the mound. At least that's how I felt. Wasn't sure what they'd get from you.
Yep.
First inning, a little shaky. Gave up the one hit, but got out of it with a couple of line drives, but ended up getting through the inning. I thought, okay, settle in.
Yeah.
Sometimes that first inning's the only one. You get through that, and you're going to be okay. Go to the second, Tyone shoves again, so you go to the bottom of the second inning. Really, the critical inning of the game when Yu Darvish gives up base runners four in a row, first four reach.
Tough.
Not all of them hit hard. You know, PCA's single was, you know, jammed him, and it was, you know, floated in front of Jackson Merrill in center field, but it's 1-0 with the bases loaded. And
I'm watching that AB. It's a perfect example, and I texted you guys this. PCA has swung at every single pitch, down, away. If it had spin on it, he was swinging. And what do you throw him? You throw him a middle fastball that he goes, oh, God, okay. Like, you hit that pitch. Again, it's just, I don't understand it. I don't understand. You got 9 pitches. They were, you know, loving and lauding the repertoire yesterday. And what do you throw PCA, a guy who cannot get it going? They showed his swing chart. Did you see it? It looked like a 16-year-old's face. Red marks everywhere.
I suggested yesterday, maybe they bench PCA. His at-bats looked so bad the first 2 games.
And what do you throw him? You throw him a middle fastball. And it's like, oh, God, thank you for that gift. And again, you got 9 pitches in your repertoire, and that's what you throw. I didn't understand it.
I give Mike Shildt credit for what can't have been an easy walk to the mound to take Yu Darvish out there. The shortest outing of his career, 1 inning.
Oh, I thought it was
plus.
I thought it was so easy. Such an easy decision,
maybe the decision was easy, but the walk had to be tough. Going out there and having to take the ball from Yu Darvish. And you talked about his future after the game, said, I can't wrap my head around it right now. It wouldn't shock me if Yu Darvish retires. He's also well within his rights to show up at spring training for the next 3 years, collect almost $50 million dollars that's left on his salary. He has signed that deal. That is well within his right. I'm not going to be mad at all if he does that and he gives his best effort, but I don't know if the Padres are going to be able to count on Yu Darvish in their starting rotation really at all over the remainder of his contract.
Well, if you fire up the hindsight machine, and again, you made the point before the show started, was there a reason, you know, and Darren, we'll talk to Darren about it too, because he texted me, he goes, was there a reason Michael King didn't start? I go, I don't know. Just maybe like, did he chase a moment yesterday? Did he go full Dave Roberts and chase that moment for Yu Darvish? Or was that really the best option?
Was there
something else wrong with King where he could only, like, I don't know. Like, Michael King looked pretty good.
I don't know if it was just emotions. That was one of the first thoughts I had after the game yesterday. I thought, is there any part of Mike Shildt that's going, hey, man, I know he's 39, but that guy's been a lot of big ball games. He's a future Hall of Famer. That's Yu Darvish.
Was that a manage with your heart situation?
He's also now 0-5 in elimination games in his career. And he pitched really well last year against the Dodgers.
He did.
Really well.
But still, yeah, 0-5. That sucks, man. Breaks my heart. I love you so much.
Well, one of the many questions. Oh, we got through about 2 innings of our wrap-up.
Do we really have to do this?
There's still so much to unpack.
Into inning number 3 and beyond in hour number 2 of Ben and Woods coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away, Tier 1s.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.